Before news.
It's 6:30. In a moment, we've comedy with I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, a phrase uttered daily in mathematics classes up and down the country. The whole subject's guaranteed to strike fear into many people's hearts. But fear not. Tomorrow afternoon, we begin a new series which makes the bitter pill much sweeter to swallow, as it includes some of the world's best-loved music, and we discover how all things mathematical long captivated many of our favourite composers.
Bach was fascinated with proportions in music and with the construction of music. One of the many rumours about Mozart was that he daubed his walls as a child with sums.
Maths is maths, and music is music. They do inhabit their own worlds. But nevertheless, they have many, many connections, and always have done.
From the golden section right through to fractals, Chris Maslanka helps you to improve your mathematics score when he explores the relationship between maths and music in Chaos Theory tomorrow afternoon at 1:30. Now, during the next half hour, we will not be awarding points. After all, what do points mean? Exactly. Do you think BBC Radio 4's made of money?
We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue with our special Millennium Celebration Edition. You join us for a second week at the Greenwich Theatre in the heart of London's officially designated Millennium Borough. But there's more to the town than just selling hastily printed souvenir tea towels. Greenwich is also famous for its long association with literature. Christopher Marlowe frequented many local taverns and was supposedly killed in one during a brawl with friends over the bill for dinner. The theory that Marlowe didn't actually die but assumed a new identity as William Shakespeare is supported by the line from Twelfth Night, "If music be the food of love, play on. But there's no way I had a prawn cocktail starter." Local residents have included the intellectual and gardener John Evelyn. As reward for his many works, Evelyn was honoured by James II when he became Keeper of the King's Privy Seal, a position made necessary by the peculiar 17th century habit of keeping an amphibious mammal in the toilet. As Greenwich is situated on the very line of longitude where the new year will begin, we feel honoured to be invited here to record this, our special second millennium show. And I'm especially pleased to be able to introduce the original cast who appeared to celebrate the first one. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke Taylor and Andy Hamilton. And eager to be my millennial right hand, please welcome the delightful Samantha. Okay, let's get on. The sooner we start, the sooner we get out. The first round is all about the importance to a song of its lyric. What, you may ask, happens to those many songs that fail miserably to entertain for want of a decent lyric? They end up on the Rolf Harris Greatest Hits album, that's what. Right, I shall provide the teams with the first part of a song lyric, which I'll ask them to complete. And Graham, you can start this one. Could you complete the following? Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wild enough to keep...
me teaching geography.
Jim, here's one for you. Wake up, Maggie. I think I've got something to say to you.
You're not Prime Minister anymore.
Barry, raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages wrapped up with string, these are...
just a few of the entries for the Turner Prize.
Andy, moon river wider than...
Moon Bridge. It's a joke for engineers, that one, mostly. But...
Graham, picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly...
This is good stuff.
Right, here's some for any of you to finish off. Nobody does it better, makes you feel sad for the rest. Nobody does it quite as good as you, baby, you're...
Tim Brooke Taylor, I presume.
I can dream.
I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote upon it...
I'm having these traced, you bastard.
I'm Henry VIII, I am. Henry VIII, I am, I am.
Of course you are, Mr. Cryer. Now blow into this, will you?
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered.
That wrong turn-off we took at Peterborough.
This can't be as good as I think it is. Let's move on anyway with Pick Up Song, where the team sing along to a selection of classic discs played on the gramophone. As is our habit, Samantha and I spent a few hours in the record library earlier and enjoyed a good long route in the singles section. Now, in DJ mode, Samantha is poised at the turntable with her 45s beautifully stacked and ready to spin for the teams. At my signal, she'll reduce the volume to nothing, but the team should continue singing, the object being to stay in time with the music. If on its return, teams, you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points, and points mean prizes. And usually at this point, I turn to the theatre audience, and I say, what do points mean?
Prizes!
But I'm not going to do it on this occasion. I don't think it's fair to get a whole room full of people making complete prats of themselves. This week's prize is guaranteed to delight every sweet-tooth Muhajirin fundamentalist. It's this Kalashnikov trifle. Tim, I'd like you to start by accompanying Robbie Williams singing Millennium.
That we are players, some say that we are pawns, but we've been making money since the day that we were born. Gotta slow down, because we're low down. Run around in circles, live a life of solitude, till we find ourselves a partner, someone to relate to. Then we'll slow down before we falls down.
Before we fall down.
Andy, now, would you please accompany Soft Cell... What's this? Soft Cell. Never heard him call that before. Anyway, would you please accompany Soft Cell singing Tainted Love?
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain that you drive into the heart of me.
Oh,
love we share seems to go nowhere. And I've lost my life, for I toss and turn, can't sleep at night.
Where's sooty when you're bloody naked?
Once I ran to you, now now I'll run from you. This tainted love you've given.
Spot on.
Uncanny.
Finally, Barry and Graham, it's a duet for you. Would you please accompany Sonny and Cher singing I Got You, Babe? Well, I don't know if that's all true, 'cause you got me, and baby, I got you. Babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
They say our love won't pay the rent before it's earned, our money's all been spent.
I guess that's so. We don't have a pot. Well, not both of us, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got. Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
I got flowers.
Yeah. It's time for an old favourite now called Sound Charades. It's based on the TV show Give Us a Clue, where the teams mimed the titles of a book, play or film against the clock. And who will ever forget the show's American tour, including their special White House performance? That was the legendary occasion when Eunice Stubbs, her hands going like tiny steam hammers, scored maximum points for pulling off all the president's men. In under 90 seconds. In the original, the teams weren't allowed to speak. What a glorious notion. In our version, the teams do. OK, Tim and Andy, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the Millennium Fund-financed laser display board. And here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Right, you're guessing this one, Barry and Graham. Off you go, Tim and Andy.
It's, five words, and it's a play and a film.
You know, you're a very attractive man.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. No.
And ever since... ever since you contacted me on my website, I've been looking forward to our getting together.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. How are we going to start?
Should we start off with a little peck?
Okay.
Very nice. Now my turn.
Do you think you could just move that leg, please? And that one, please. And that one, and the three others over there.
Okay, now, Barry and Graham, you've got to start guessing. Let's start the stopwatch. Okay.
All right. This web, was it?
Web.
A cobweb.
Yes. I think you might be warm.
Oh.
Might be in spider country or not.
Not a leg. No. Not a legs.
Legs. Spider legs.
Kiss.
Did it.
Kiss.
Of the spider woman.
Ah!
Right, your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title's now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is a mystery voice for listeners at home.
Dinner ladies. Dinner ladies.
TV series.
Two words.
Carry on.
Hamish, you'll have had your tea.
No, but...
Will you join me in a wee dram?
I'd prefer a whiskey dram if it's all the same to you, Dougal.
And a toast.
Yay.
To the ladies.
The ladies. Except for wee Jessie.
Oh, not wee Jessie.
Oh, no, she's always on at me. Dinner, put your hand on my knee. Dinner, fiddle with my bra strap. Oh.
Point taken, Hamish. The ladies, aye. Except for wee Jessie.
Aye.
And Moira.
Moira! Oh.
Dinner, poke your tongue in my ear. Dinner, point that Polaroid at me.
A Polaroid.
She has an uncertain grasp of language.
Oh, yeah. The ladies, then.
Except for wee Jessie and Moira.
Cheers.
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 Is it dinner, ladies?
No.
Yeah.
Just let me switch off the stopwatch. The teams are now going to play a game based on greetings card messages. At first sight, this may seem rather a thin premise, but never forget that from tiny acorns, mighty sycamores grow. OK, teams, I'd like you please to suggest occasions which are in need of special greetings cards, together with the appropriate messages they might contain. And, Graham, will you start, please?
You've got a new girlfriend. I wish you good luck. I hope most sincerely that she's a great friend.
I really know just how you feel when your hamster died, fell asleep at the wheel.
I've got one here. It's quite it's quite a conventional thing. It's to a bride. Have a wonderful honeymoon. And it reads, hip hip hurrah, hip hip hooray, trilly trilla, whoopee wahey, gosh golly wow, yahoo and how, hip hip hurrah, hip hip hooray, and that's how you fake an orgasm.
Going into hospital, all your friends, they wish you well, and through me they send their loves. We all agree you're in safe hands, unless you see some rubber gloves.
All the best from me and Viv. Who'd have thought it? Only 2 weeks to live.
I've got a very specific one here.
Oh, yes.
It's congratulations on getting a job at the florist's, even though you're colourblind card. And it says, roses are red, violets are blue. And that's it, I think.
At Easter time, I hope you have a visit from Easter Bunny. But I shall send the lads around unless you pay the money.
I've got another quite specific one. It's commiserations on being Jeffrey Archer. It's quite a limited market, although millions of us could send it. It reads, it's not your fault, Jeff. You do your best, but you just get crosser and crosser. Because no matter how hard you try to please... we still think you're... Actually, that's not the most charitable card that Hallmark do, I feel.
Happy vasectomy today. All I can say is snip, snip, hooray!
I've got a parental one. It's from a dad. It's congrats on losing your virginity. Now's the time to be jolly and merry. At last, you've gone and lost your cherry. It was at a party that you achieved coition, in the room where they put the coats. It's tradition. You were drunk, so was she. It's always the same. You can't remember her face. You don't know her name. You just use her as a sex object, as your plaything for fun, and all I can say is I'm proud of you, son.
Now it's time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, I noticed that sitting next to the BBC listener reaction shredding machine, there's a letter from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, dear Miss Adie, if any listeners are fed up with those endless trails that keep appearing on the wireless, why not wipe them off with a damp cloth and put down slug pellets to stop the litter? To stop the little blighters coming back. Oh, and there's a PS. Amongst the many current great attractions, watch out for a book called The Almost Complete I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Your many listeners will laugh like a drain just to hear it's been published. OK, now on with the game, which in celebration of the bright new future promised by the dawn of a new millennium, we'll play a version popular at the time of the last millennium. Surprisingly, the game in the time of King Ethelred the Unready was little different from today's ancient standard rules, so, as you'd imagine, the reverse diagonal was seldom applied in consecutive play. However, locations east of Shoreditch were liable to incur the infamous Danegeld penalty. Is that clear, everyone? Right, let's start. Tim, will you start?
Shoreditch.
King Street.
Mm. I'm like...
Just relax.
Well, we put... You know, we play this at home, but it always causes rows. These are my thinking noises. Tufnell Park.
Good.
Now, that would... That is a reverse, yeah. But no, we won't push it because it's, no. You know.
Is it?
But I mean...
It's not a reverse diagonal.
No. Yeah, it is. See,
well, don't get
Tufnell
sarcastic.
There is.
Should I do it again? Have I marked the game?
No, you haven't. You've got it perfectly right. They're just panicking.
And now, and I suppose in fairness, when if it's seldom used in consecutive play, it's not never. So he's allowed to make that move.
Thanks.
But it was near the edge.
Very. It was very, very near,
listen to this.
Near the
it's
edge.
A ploy.
I've just noticed Mrs. Trellis doesn't put an address on the letter.
You looking for a pen, pal?
Carry on, Graham.
OK, we accept Andy's move.
Yeah. It's not up to you to whether you accept
exactly.
It or not.
Exactly, you tell them. You tell them, Humph. Take control, for goodness sake.
Well, adjudication, then, Humph.
Well,
do you
accept it?
I hate to be the cause of all this unpleasantness.
It's not you.
No. Please, you're very welcome.
I'll accept it because it's his first time.
Yeah, OK. Battersea.
Oh.
Northolt.
Socky Hall Street.
Just being frivolous now.
No. Think about it.
Balls Pond Road.
Yeah. Oh, they all say that, don't they? Balls Pond Turnham Green.
Balls Pond Turnham Green?
It's logical.
I know you were a doctor, but...
I didn't mean, by the way, I didn't mean, you know when you stop at service stations and they got that thing for the kids, the Balls Pond, I didn't mean that.
No, it's all right. Okay. You're overreacting now, just relax.
I'm just very nervous.
Deep breaths.
It's
coming out. I've known people leave the postcode off, but the whole address is ridiculous.
Redo Street, North.
Seven Sisters Road.
Careful. You've got to keep it. The reverse diagonal.
Give it again.
Seven Sisters Row.
Oh, Seven Sisters Row. Oh, you're okay.
Yes. Yeah.
West Brompton.
Good. Shoreditch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Back there.
Shoreditch.
Mornington Crescent.
Yes. Well done, Andy.
Says here, I say what fun. Well, now it's time for us to continue with a musical round called Swanee Kazoo. This combines the rasping buzz of the kazoo with the soothing ululation of the Swanee whistle. The juxtaposition of two such disparate instruments may seem an odd choice, but in fact they're as natural a combination as peaches and cream, oysters and champagne, or diarrhea and vomiting. Is there no limit to the unlikely combinations that can be put together in the name of entertainment? Yes, there is. Colin Sell and a piano. Actually, for a long time, we were all very impressed by Colin's amazing musical ear, until we discovered he was picking up Radio 2 on his deaf aid. We'll start with you, Barry and Graham. Your song is Do Wah Diddy Diddy, and it's to feature Barry Cryer on kazoo and Graham Garden on Swanee Whistle.
Do
turn now. Tim and Andy, your turn. Your song is Anything You Can Do, and it's to feature Andy Hamilton on kazoo and Tim Brooke Taylor on the Swanee Whistle. Well, I notice it's very nearly time to end the show, but not before we fit in a round of Greek Film Club. Teams, I'd like your suggestions, please, of film titles likely to appeal to an audience of Greeks. Andy, will you start, please?
Well, Greece, obviously.
Homer, Lone.
The Good, The Kebab and The Ugly.
9½ Greeks.
The Four Musketeers.
Casablanca. Now, I should explain that. Not a lot of people know that Humphrey Bogart is actually reading a book of old Greek mathematics in one scene. And what he actually said was, "Here's looking at Euclid."
The Wizard of Coz.
American Pie.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. A maths teacher, thank you.
Get your mum out the audience, Tim. That's just embarrassing me.
Calamaris, East of Java.
Which was the film with that great outboard motor sequence when you said, "Oh, the boat was actually driven by the inventor of the outboard motor, George Papadopoulos."
Little Doric. got a cast here starring Corinth Redgrave and Brad Pitter.
Bring me the heel of Achilles, Garcia.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the millennium bug of fate breeds in the sewage-eating cattle of destiny, and the millennium hype of eternity balls the arse of doom off old Father Time. I notice it's the end of the show, and indeed the series. We'll be back for a special festive edition of the programme on Christmas Day. In the meantime, it's goodbye from the teams, Samantha, myself, and the fine folk of Greenwich. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Andy Hamilton and Tim Brooke Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.
Yorkshire men behaving strangely.
You'll step forward, Norman. Dressed in
white tights.
No. Forget that.
Camping it up at Christmas.
Hello, Fanny.
Behind the scenes at the Marsden Village Pando.
They're going to rescue her disguised as a camel.
Quick, get on the leader.
Will it be safe?
Depends which way you're facing.
A pint, a pie and a song, starting tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock.
After the news, it's the Archers. BBC Radio 4, the news at 7 o'clock.
Members of the Conservative Party in London are meeting this evening amid growing pressure to reinstate Steve Norris to their list of candidates for London Mayor. The former Transport Minister was dropped by the mayoral selection panel at the weekend. Mr. Norris says he's still keen to stand if representatives decide to reinstate him. The Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott has outlined his vision for Britain's transport system over the next 10 years. He says his plans would cost £80 billion, which would come from public money and private investment. Two American officials have met the father of a 6-year-old Cuban boy who is at the centre of a custody dispute between the United States and Cuba. The US has been insisting that the father has to be interviewed before the case can be resolved. From Havana, here's Tom Gibb.
After more than 4 days waiting for permission from the Cuban side, U.S. immigration officials finally met the father of 6-year-old Elian Gonzalez. They said this was necessary to prove...